donate, and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
Wendy, very quickly, tell the folks how they can get God's. Would God give us natural herbs? And I have probably everything that you made out there. I have it, and I use it, and they work because they come from God, natural herbs. And tell them how they can get that instead of the big pharma.
Sure. They give us a call at 866-229-3663. It's Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663. They can visit us online at thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. We're also having a VIP sale, runs through the 20th, so it saves 25%. You can call for details, or details are online.
All right, very good. You know, we're going to take a look. We're going from Colonel McGregor, and Judge Napolitano is taking a look at what's really happening with the Ukraine-Russian conflict war there, because, folks, it's nothing like what you hear on NBC, ABC, CBS, none of the Democratic Communist Party-controlled media. So let's go and take us away there, Kyle.
Hi, everyone. Judge Andrew Napolitano here for Judging Freedom. Today is Tuesday, February 7th, 2023. It's about 2 o'clock in the afternoon here on the East Coast of the United States. Colonel Douglas McGregor is back with us. I have a lot to chat with you about, Colonel, but there is a little bit of breaking news, and it apparently comes from the Russian military, although it's not good for them. You tell me the significance of this number. Russia suffered a record 10,030 troop deaths in the last 24 hours. Is this believable? Is this a high number?
Yeah, I'd say that's a very high number. 10,000 Russian
soldiers. No, 1,030 troop deaths in the last 24 hours. I don't know what 24 hours, but this just broke on Yahoo, and everybody's picking it up, so there must be more than one source for it. Yahoo is quoting the Russian military.
Well, it's interesting because they have not sustained those kinds of casualties in the past. For them to lose 1,000 a day in one day, it would be interesting to know what the cause is. Did they indicate at all what had caused these deaths?
No, it's one of those short, Colonel, it's one of those short summary articles. It's no more than two paragraphs, just like it was written on the fly. Maybe more is to come. If something breaks during the show, we'll pick it up and let you know. You and I discussed a piece in the Financial Times based on writing by reporters who are all over Europe that NATO's stockpiles are getting low and needing urgent replenishment. How could that be?
Well, I think that's easily explained. First of all, even in the 1980s, when we were pouring enormous amounts of money into our military establishment, NATO was really conducting business as usual. Now, that was better than what we've seen since the early 1990s, but there was no sense of any imminent danger of war in Europe that justified massive production of equipment or munitions. Once the wall fell, so to say, you see that the German army was rapidly disbanded. The German government simply disarmed itself and fell into the hands of these combination of greens and leftists who were convinced that that Fukuyama was right, that history had ended and there would be no further conflict.
So NATO, and you've been saying this, NATO is giving arms to Ukraine from its substance, not from its surplus, and its substance, whatever it may need for whatever purpose, the old days, the Russian bear, but whatever purpose, its substance is depleted significantly.
Oh, absolutely. And again, this reinforces another point, that the Europeans did not sign up for a war with Russia. When this whole business began, and I say business, I'm talking about going back to 2014 with the installation of the government that was essentially friendly to us, guided by people like Victoria Nuland and others from Washington. And then the subsequent massive buildup of the Ukrainian army designed effectively for one purpose, to attack Russia, specifically not just to attack Russia, but to regain control of Crimea. So this was an unambiguously offensive force aimed at Russia. I think the Europeans looked at this and said, well, this won't really go anywhere. The Russians really don't want to fight, and the Russians are no longer armed as they once were. And what we're discovering is that they were not entirely wrong, that the Russian military was hardly prepared for a major war, which is why they ultimately went to the pause, the strategic pause, the economy of force. And they went to a war footing. They're now on a war footing. Their factories are running 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. They're not in any danger of running out of ammunition or equipment or anything else. And they're turning out excellent equipment, brand new equipment in many cases. It's arriving very rapidly at the front. They now have a very large force, and it's getting larger every day. So I think the Europeans just never signed on for this. And the problem we have right now is that we grossly miscalculated on the Russians. We don't really understand them. We didn't pay any attention to them. We're staring strategic defeat in the face.
Have our supplies been depleted, and are they in need of replenishment, the Americans, to the same extent that NATO's are?
Well, of course, you've got to remember that if you look at something like the Javelin, a friend of mine at Raytheon told me that, and this was ultimately posted by Fox News in one of the articles, but a friend at Raytheon said, look, we've gone through almost 7 years of production of Javelins in Ukraine. You know, it takes time to build these missiles, whether it's HIMARS or Raytheon's other products like NASAMS and so forth. All of these missiles are very complex, high-tech weapons. We've gone through our stockpiles very quickly, and we have no surge capacity, none. And that's something people don't understand. But the Russians have managed to very rapidly surge production. And the Europeans are very concerned about it. That's why inside NATO, behind closed doors, people are saying, this can't go on. You've got to end this, Washington. Everyone's at risk. We have nothing left. In fact, the whole tank issue is blowing up in everybody's faces because the tanks are simply not showing up. Suddenly, other European members are reluctant to commit their Leopard tanks. And if I were sitting in their shoes right now, I would feel the same way. Why would I send my armor over there? I might, in their minds, they say, well, once Ukraine is destroyed, we have to be able to defend ourselves. And I think they're right.
To this argument, late last week, General Christopher Cavoli, I don't know if you know him, the Supreme Allied Commander of NATO, an American general, was quoted as saying Ukraine's losses are, quote, out of proportion to NATO's expectations. Now, that's consistent with what you're saying, mm-hmm. but I'm surprised to hear that from General Cavoli, unless this is the type of leak that's intended to acclimate the public to reality.
That could be. Cavoli is the Supreme Commander, Europe, and what he says is certainly going to have a huge impact in Europe. Most people in the United States won't pay any attention, but everybody in Europe will. And so in that sense, you could be right that he's signaling that this is not going to go on. We cannot sustain this. He's not going to come out and say it, but I think that's his message.
Would someone of General Cavoli's position, an American four-star, but commanding American and foreign troops to the extent that he's commanding them, you can tell me what that means, in Europe, have needed the permission of the State Department or the Defense Department or the West Wing to make a statement that profound?
Absolutely. It would have to have been vetted in the White House as well as with the Office of Secretary of Defense and, I suspect, the Secretary of State.
He also used a phrase, and maybe this is military science 101, I don't know. Precision can beat mass. Can you tell us what that means?
Well, I did not necessarily use that.
No, phrase. You didn't use it. General Cavoli did.
Yeah. Cavoli is not wrong. What you need, though, is the following. Wars are won and have been won, certainly for the last century plus, by accurate, devastating firepower. Your ability to direct accurate, devastating firepower against the enemy at a place and time and space that makes his position hopeless. Let's put it that way. We have precision. Unfortunately for us, so do the Russians. So do the Chinese. This monopoly that we had for years on precision munitions is gone. Now what the Russians are demonstrating is that they understand that you need both. You want precision munitions, precision missiles, precision rockets, but you want huge quantities of them if you're going to win. So Cavoli is trying to sort of be on both sides of the equation. He said, well, precision can beat mass, yes, under certain circumstances. But if your opponent has precision and mass, probably not. And that's the case with Russia right now.
Wow. You and I also talked about some of the behavior of Ukrainian agents and recruiting officials. I don't know if they're military or not. Lowering the conscription age to 16. Now, everywhere in the world, a 16-year-old boy is a boy, not a man, not a fully developed man, and too young for the military, but I guess not too young for Ukraine. You and I shared a video. I don't know how old this kid was, 14 or 15, was literally kidnapped right in front of his mother's eyes and shoved into a military truck. They were just walking down the street. What is this going to do for the morale of the people in Ukraine? Is it common or is it isolated? And has the conscription age in Ukraine, this is almost child abuse, been lowered to 16?
My impression is yes, it has. And there are multiple sources confirming that this is the case. And there's lots of evidence being posted by Ukrainians all the time about the true situation. There are pictures of Ukrainian soldiers that are obviously, you know, 15, 16 years of age. So there's no doubt that this is going on. But I think this is part of the larger picture. The Russians went into this economy of force, and they maximized the effectiveness of their connectivity between space-based and terrestrial-based ISR, intelligence, surveillance, reconnaissance, assets above, and gun systems, rocket systems, missile systems. They've inflicted terrible casualties. Whole year groups of Ukrainian men are dead and are gone, have been annihilated. And at the same time, you have this much smaller population from which to draw on, as I talked about previously. There aren't 37 million people in Ukraine anymore. The areas that Zelensky controls, there are perhaps 18, 19, 20, 21, 22 million, which is roughly the size of the population of the Netherlands. That population is mostly male, I'm told, because lots of old men, women, and children have left the country. But still, the men that are there are not all able. Some of them are in advanced age, and lots of them are children. And so they're in desperation turning to this. This regime is at the end. It really is. But it's not going to give up. It's going to fight to the bitter end, and it's going to sacrifice whatever it can to stay in power.
But when will Joe Biden and Tony Blinken and Lloyd Austin and Jake Sullivan, the people that presumably are making these decisions, recognize what you just said, that the regime is at the end?
I think that for all intents and purposes, that message was delivered weeks ago from the Department of Defense to the White House, and it was rejected, period.
Well, they're rejecting reality in deference to their political needs. Well, guess we'll hear that in the State of the Union tonight.
Well, I'm sure you'll hear an entirely erroneous picture. I mean, someone asked me today, how did we end up like this? I said, well, we've had 40 years of Cold War, at the end of which the Soviet Union fell apart and we emerged, if not victorious, then certainly healthy and well, and we avoided global war, which was our goal for 40 years. In just 1 year, we faced defeat in Ukraine through this proxy war. But more important, we're on the threshold of a potential confrontation with Russia, something that we worked for decades to avoid. So I guess the answer to your question, Judge, is it doesn't look good. We're not going to admit failure. No one will say they were wrong.
The Russians love anniversaries. February 24th, of course, is the anniversary of the beginning of this military incursion. Does from your sources, Colonel, does President Putin have his hundreds of thousands of reinforcements ready to pour in to eastern Ukraine and begin marching and killing and destroying on their way west.
Yes, they're ready. That's why I thought that by now they would have already pulled the string, so to say, and have moved north. But the shaping attacks that have been going on down in southern Ukraine have essentially set the Russians up for multiple axes of advance from the south, up towards Zaporizhia, up through the Bakhmut area, and further east up along the border with Russia. I don't know which one they're going to take. Maybe they'll take them all, but that has worked. Why they have not already attacked, who knows? I mean, one thing I'm sure Sorovikin realizes and Gerasimov realizes is that their strategy of enticing the Ukrainians to attack them relentlessly has worked. Ukraine is being bled white. And they may be saying, well, there's no reason to rush. We can wait another 3 or 4 days. Let's wait for additional ammunition. Let's wait for additional whatever it might be. Remember, logistics is important. And they want to push forward ammunition, medical support, more firepower, all of those kinds of things. And it may be they want to push some more forward. But the truth is they could go right now, and there's not much to stop them from going straight north and on the eastern side all the way to Kiev.
Have you seen any evidence of demoralization amongst the Ukrainian troops because of their vast casualties?
Anecdotally, you go on Telegram and you look at the things that are being posted in Ukrainian by Ukrainians. And yes, there's plenty of evidence for it. There's no question about that. Also, the hatred and hostility is growing for Zelensky as more and more Ukrainians are blaming him.
Just let me stop you. Is this hatred from the public, Ukrainian public, from the military, or both?
Well, I'm talking primarily about soldiers in the field. But that may also apply to the population. I just don't have access to that in Western Ukraine. I don't know what they think there. But soldier-wise, oh, absolutely. And they're also looking at very corrupt leadership. You know, there are comments coming in all the time. You're stuffing your pockets with cash, you and the generals, your corrupt leaders, and we're dying, you know, by the bushel every other day. I mean, assignment to Bakhmut for the last couple of months has been essentially a death warrant, and everybody knows it.
Not too long ago, maybe 3 or 4 days ago, the former foreign minister of Poland revealed that at one point the Polish government was thinking of, I don't know how they would do this physically, militarily, and legally, partitioning Ukraine and considering the western part of Ukraine, the part largely untouched by the war that includes the capital, Kyiv, as a Polish protectorate, and thereby triggering Article 5, the obligation of all of NATO to defend Poland, if that part of Ukraine, a la Polish protectorate, were attacked by Russia. I mean, this just sounds to me crazy. It almost sounds like the justification Hitler used to combine Austria to Germany to protect Austria, even though the only people Austria needed to be protected from was him.
Although most Austrians disagreed, and they were quite happy to join the German state. I think Hitler's a bad comparison. Okay. I think a better comparison would be somebody like Stalin, you know, the man that murdered 16 times the number of people Hitler ever encountered. I think Poland is another state in the region with unfinished business. You've got to go all the way back to the First World War and understand the Second World War was an extension of the First. And then all of the people in the region that were formerly part of Austria-Hungary, the Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth, even the German Imperial State or Prussia, all these places fell under Russian domination, Russian communist domination. And everyone was unhappy with it. Everyone hates it. And everyone felt betrayed. The Poles in particular, once they got out from under Soviet occupation and control, always envisioned a time when they would regain their former stature in Europe as a great power. So these kinds of thoughts and strategies have been around forever. The problem is, if they are seriously considering this, and they may be, I mean, it's hard for us to know, but nothing would surprise me. The polls are romantics to the bitter end. If they think that by moving into Ukraine and claiming that they are acting in the name of NATO and Washington, that'll be the end of NATO, the Europeans.
Alrighty, we are back. And that's not exactly what you've been hearing on the so-called mainstream media, is it?
No, it sure isn't. But we know that's a voice of truth because we know the man that's speaking.
So they've been depleting, and we've been trying to tell people this for a long time. It's, you know, now about a week or so ago, we had a clip, and Lewinsky said, and he was, well, it was at the World Economic Forum, and he was speaking. And he was talking to the leaders there, Schwab and the others, and he was saying how we have a chance of making a lot of money. We can really make a lot of money. We can there with that war. Is that the smart thing to be saying?
Well, it sure didn't sound that way to me.
No, well, but you wouldn't hear that on NBC, ABC, or CBS. All righty, we got to go. We got a lot of stuff to cover, so what's your next one, Joe?
Just a sec. I'd like to make one comment because I think he forgot one point that as a soldier I want to point out. Russia is in no hurry. It's wintertime. And if you remember those pictures of Ukraine and the rubble, they have no power. They have no water. The sewers aren't working. People are starving and are going to freeze to death and die from the elements. And Russia can just let the winter be, you know, tear down Ukraine even more. And it can wait another few weeks of winter before they come in with their offensive. Winter kills, right?
Right. Now, let me ask you a question.
Poverty. Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. If President Trump was in office and he knew that on the other side of the border in Mexico, there were 28 bio labs that were there to make weapons, biological weapons, just across our border, 28 Russian or Chinese bio labs. What do you think Trump would do about it?
Oh, I know what I wish he would do, but right now, with those cartels being so strong, I think the two cartels are about equal to the Mexican government. And I'm not sure that unless we do a complete change of policy that much could be done.
No, the point I'm trying to make, Joe, is that Putin had that on his border.
Border.
Right on his border, he had those labs, and they were making bioweapons that would target certain groups of people in Russia that would eliminate certain groups of people. And he knew all about it, and he warned them. Time and time again. And so it wasn't like, you know, America's the good guy in all of this, is it?
No, it turns out lots of times America is not the good guy that we think. In fact, we know different people have said basically Biden and our military-industrial complex has been pushing for this war in Ukraine. They see it as a way to make money. And we know all the way back to Hunter Biden and Burisma. In fact, this goes back. So many people were making money off of Ukraine, the corrupt nation of Ukraine. That's one of the reasons that everybody wants to keep the Hunter Biden laptop a secret, because if Biden's corruption is exposed, then so will many others in America be exposed.
Well, we had Joey Biden telling us himself how he insisted he cut off the money there, because what they did is they had a real president there in Ukraine, and Obama took him out and put Zelensky in there, and then Joe Biden said, look, I want to stop all of these investigations into criminal activity, to money laundering and all of that. Because that leads to us. So,
right. That prosecutor, Viktor Shokin, had to be eliminated, and he was fired.
Yeah.
And guess what? If you look at the Gateway Pundit today and some of the news sources, they say there is a smoking gun, and they found on Hunter Biden's laptop proof, in his own words, you know, and it comes down to, we have uncovered email thread on Hunter Biden's laptop where Burisma asked Hunter to use his influence to end the Ukrainian prosecutor's investigation into the company. The report explained that Burisma asked Hunter in 2014 about how we stop this investigation. Quote, we urgently need your advice how you could use your influence to convey a message, a signal, or whatever, to stop what we consider to be politically motivated actions. And it was just a little while later that Biden had the prosecutor that was going after Burisma fired. So there's your smoking gun. We now have evidence in Hunter Biden's laptop, and I have a feeling that the news is going to try and ignore this, shut it down, because if they go further with this, there are so many people who will be uncovered in bad, dirty dealings with Ukraine that it's going to be a huge battle.
Right. Well, you know, here in America, George Soros bought the offices of prosecuting attorneys, attorney generals. He bought them. Whatever it took, and he would install whores. That's what these people, according to God's word, the Bible, those that sell themselves, that betray their God, their country, he did that all across the country. And we see him, the idea in our cities is to make sure that those that are committing crimes get out so they can commit more crimes. The whole idea is to let the cities implode. He wants more crime, as much crime as possible. And, of course, that's the Democratic Communist Party policy. And so we're seeing now it's gotten so bad that even a number of the Democrats, you know, can't take it anymore. And you saw the mayor of New York, how sanctuary city, until they started shipping all of the drug dealers and all the criminals there. Then all of a sudden he changed his attitude, didn't he?
Yeah, all of a sudden he's begging and pleading for help from the federal government. And after going down to the border, he couldn't really go after Texas anymore, could he?
No. And then, of course, we've told people, how many times over and over and over have we told people, because someday they're going to realize it. Someday history will say how the Biden crime family, their job was gatekeeper. Their job was to keep the border open, to bring the drug dealers in, to have the flow of drugs, fentanyl. Everybody's making some money. The drug dealers are making literally billions of dollars to keep a good supply of little children for the Democratic Party is flush with pedophiles. The top echelon of that party is flush with pedophiles to keep a good supply of children. And people say, well, boy, I hate to even think of that as we've gotten that far. Folks, I hate to tell you, it's there. Not only that, but bringing in people, when they give the word, we have to burn the cities down, we have to riot, we have to intimidate the people. If they want to have a fair election, if they want to have a fair election, we've got to stop them. We've got to make them afraid. We've got to make them fear civil war if they continue. So Biden's been bringing in terrorists, known terrorists, Islamic terrorists, you name it, and he's been, and a lot of Chinese, a lot of Chinese communist party, and these people are spies and terrorists. He's been bringing in a ton of them, and we've been telling people, and he's telling you the border is secure. You can't believe your lying eyes. You know, 5 million people, what's 5 million people? We've got, you know, we're over 300 million people in this country. That's the mindset that they're trying to tell you. Yeah, so there's 5 million people. How many of those are terrorists? How many of those have he brought into this country? And, folks, he's bringing them in. He's behind it. He's not the only leader, but he is one of them. We'll be back right after this. I feel so certain about this faith of mine. I'm hanging in there, doing fine. King Jesus is a friend of mine. I'm blessed by you. Saving babies, teaching sinners. Hell's for losers, heaven's for winners. This work is not for beginners. I am blessed by you. I'm coming home someday. Heaven's my way. I'm blessed by you. Where the saints all stay and little children play. I'm blessed by you. Where the saints of old walk on streets of gold. I know that I will see that heavenly prize. It's no surprise how happy I'll be. There you go. I played that song for Wendy. Wendy, I'll bet Joe never played a song for you.
I was thinking of that when you were playing it. You knew it was one of my favorites.
Yeah, and you're one of our favorites too, isn't she, Joe?
Sure is. Anybody that put up with you has to be pretty good.
You're right about that. Just ask my wife. Hey, listen. Catholic schoolboy who was kicked out of school for saying there are only two genders. Now they've arrested him. That's right. That boy who went to the Catholic school, who spoke out against transgenders in the school's women's bathroom, they kicked him out of school. They expelled him from the Catholic school. Now, what kind of a Catholic school would do that? And, folks, I got to tell you, if now he's because he went back to school. They expelled him for a year. He said, no, I did nothing wrong. So he went back to school, and guess what they did? They arrested him now.
Yep.
Okay.
It's getting crazy. Well, you know, going back to what you were just saying a few minutes ago about the children and the pedophiles of the Democrat Party, Tom Homan, who has spent his life on our border defending our nation, has a big article out on Fox News, and he is talking about what's happening with Biden's new plan to, you know, bring in 30,000 people from Haiti, Cuba, Venezuela, and Nicaragua every month, and how this sponsor thing has been a joke. He said there have been 250,000 children smuggled into this country under Biden's watch, and the government's lost track of them. The government doesn't know where they went. They were supposed to go to sponsors. He quotes different studies, different letters. Health and Human Services was unable to contact 19,726 sponsors that they knew where they were supposed to be, the group that, and they had no replies. They've lost thousands of these minors. And he goes on and talks about how basically the DHS just found out there was a meat packing plant in Nebraska. 50 children were there. Some as young as 13 were illegally employed and were forced to work there, slave labor. So you can see that he's backing up with stories and figures and facts. He said, I can confidently say these children were trafficked for the purpose of forced labor, many others for the purpose of the sex trade. And he said this will continue until people realize this is alien smuggling, this is a felony, this is child abuse. And the man gets real upset. He said, 20 years ago, I stood in the back of a semi-trailer in Victoria, Texas, where 19 migrants, including a 5-year-old boy, suffocated after being abandoned by their smuggler. And he said those people that make these stupid, disastrous policies haven't seen what I've seen. They haven't held a young boy in their arms, thinking of his last moments, his last breaths on this earth. They haven't seen the dead bodies in the desert. And they haven't interviewed the young girls, all victims of sexual assault and slavery. He said, this is evil, and I'm fighting these evil people. And that's what's going on in America today. We're fighting evil, Pastor.
We sure are. Let me just tell you this, because the entire board is lit. Josh Alexander was that 16-year-old boy's name, and he was the leadership of St. Joseph High School in Renfrew, Canada, told him that he continued attendance would be detrimental to the physical and mental well-being of the transgender students.
Genders, yeah.
You folks, listen, you people there in Canada that have your children, if you care for your children at all, if you got any standards, if you've got any honor, if you've got any integrity, you'll pull your children out of that school and you'll make sure that those who are in charge are replaced. All right, we have a prayer request, so let's go to that prayer request first. Jim, you're in the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Pastor Jim.
Yes, Jim. Go ahead.
Hey, you know, my brother is suffering from Huntington's disease in a nursing home over in Pennsylvania. And I think he's headed for the final roundup. I just want to give a praise to Jesus Christ that the Baptists came into that nursing home. They gave him the message, and he accepted, and his soul is saved.
Wow. You say he did get saved?
He did, absolutely, yes.
Well, praise the good Lord for that.
Bible studying for the last several months. And I'm sorry kind of coming apart here, but
I know you were close with your brother, So we wanted you want to pray for a healing, or just pray for God to be a comforter?
No, he has Huntington's disease, and one of the primary causes of death there is aspirational pneumonia, which he has. So it's the final countdown, and he's been prescribed the the morphine for the final slide.
God's calling him home.
He is, and he's going home.
Alrighty.
A pilgrim's in a foreign land, and he's going home.
Let's do this, Jim. It would be the most fitting and proper for you, being his brother and being that close to him, to lead us in prayer. We'll all across the nation. We have a lot of good people listening to this program right now that will agree with you in that prayer. So go ahead and hold your brother up in prayer as the Lord leads you.
As we say to each other every night, if you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Christ, your personal Savior, and that you confess with your mouth that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Not maybe, not if, not next Tuesday. Thou shalt be saved. And we claim that verse, God. Your word is immutable. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And take my brother home in peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Jim. Jim, I'm planning on, if you're up to it, you joining me tomorrow night, because we're going to be talking about climate change. But I have to move on because I'm running out of time and the whole board is lit. And all right, let's go now. This lady called in very quickly, Bonnie. Let's go to Bonnie. Bonnie, you called in last week for prayer request. Go ahead.
Oh, yes. I just want to thank your audience. I got a lot of calls and a lot of prayers, and I met a couple of new friends, but I do not know the results of, the court observers. I don't know the results of my case yet. I haven't heard from the judge, but would like to know if someone can, if anyone in San Diego could help me do other things. You know, I'd be more than happy to pay them because I could not find any lawyers, and I called the church to ask them to help me resolve this problem because it was between me and a minister, but they're not willing to get involved. And
all right. So Bonnie, here's what you do. Give your phone number out. Give your phone number out and tell the folks, because we're running out of time. And that way, if people out there can help you, and you're just looking for some legal counsel, it doesn't have to be a lawyer, right?
Yes, and to help me fill out some, it's simple papers, but the computer or anything. And so, and I've contacted the mayor, the governor, everyone, and nobody can help me. And I hired two attorneys, and they all worked against me. They stayed at the house for over a year without paying rent. They didn't. No deposit. They wouldn't sign the COVID. And so, it was just impossible. And
that's because you've got a governor that is sticking up in your state is for the people who don't pay the rent. But anyhow, give that phone number out so we have to move on. If you're a paralegal out there, you can help her. Just give her advice. Go ahead and give that number.
619-264-6437.
All right. Thanks, Bonnie. I have to move on. Let's go to Cliff. Cliff, you're in the air.
Yeah. Hello, Wendy.
Hello, Cliff.
Yeah. There's something for you to look at on the Sergeant Reports podcast, episode 443. There's a Chinese study from 2021 that said the egg yolk apparently counters the spike protein from the COVID and from the shot to a degree. And it's interesting that these eggs have been attacked, apparently. So you do wonder if So I'd ask you about eggnog, too, for health purposes in the past, because it also said there's a history of egg yolk countering tetanus and other things like pleurisy, I think it was.
Wow. Yeah. You have to wonder why, you know, the chickens are being attacked, right?
Well, Klaus Schwab is trying to, the World Economic Forum, they want to outlaw eggs. They want to make eggs illegal.
And the reason would be?
Apparently it might have something to do with making the poisonous poke ineffective or less effective. I don't know.
Or keeping it effective. In other words, if the egg yolk counteracts it, then they don't want eggs.
Right.
They want, you know, so that seems to be what's happening, apparently. But it is interesting that it has all these properties that apparently could counter the spike protein, and all of a sudden it's being attacked globally, the eggs. So that's kind of interesting. Another thing
is,
from
it is
that,
not,
go ahead.
It's not a coincidence if it's a global problem, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got to quickly. We're running out of time. Quickly, Cliff, go ahead.
Yeah, there was also another thing there in that episode. There's something called Norplant, which is a hormone-based thing given to women as birth control, a long-time release. And they said that actually Pfizer took the drug over, but the initial trials showed it caused brain damage in women, and
wow.
They hid that. So Melinda Gates was hawking this on Bloomberg Radio for her foundation and conjunction with Pfizer and, you know, to the African woman. And in the meantime, they kept that the initial studies, which were on South American women, additionally caused brain damage in women that were taking this Norplant.
Mm. Well, it doesn't surprise me. You know, we were just talking about, you know, ghostwriters and fraud in scientific research and journal articles. You know, that goes hand in hand.
Yep, I got to move on. We're going to go to the last call for tonight. Cindy, you're the last call.
Oh, hello, Wendy. I just have a question on the organic powdered alfalfa. I wanted to order that, but there's a warning label on it about lead. Why is that?
It just depends on where you're getting alfalfa. You know, because crops that are grown in different regions will have different elements in them. Some crops will even taste sweeter or bitter because of where they're grown. So it's in the soil, and some areas have a higher level of that.
Is it safe to take it, though, when it says that warning on the label?
Probably not in high amounts. I mean, that's why it's there. You know, a lot of places now are testing. A lot of the herb farms we use test everything so that the levels are normal and not high.
So yep. What company would have it where there's no lead in it so I could order it?
I don't know if you can get it without lead, or you might want to call Star West Botanicals and ask them.
Well,
they're on the West Coast.
Well, there is even said that it, on the website, it said that it contained lead, and I'm just, I don't know where
yeah.
to even get it from.
It's going to, you know, all the minerals or all those elements come from the soils where it's being grown.
All righty, we got to move on. I thank you so much for calling, Cindy. Wendy, one thing, I don't have time for you to go into it tonight, but sometime we got to, all of a sudden everybody's buying barley grass up here. Some people are doing, eating nothing but barley grass. That's all they're eating is barley grass. They say that it is so nutritious, that's all you need. So, but not now.
Yeah.
You have to tell us about that some other time.
Okay.
So, Joe, you've got 4 minutes. Joe, you've got 4 minutes.
All right. One of the old songs that sang at church, "Ye must be born again." And beautiful words. A ruler once came to Jesus by night to ask him the way of salvation and light. The master made answer in words true and plain, "Ye must be born again." O children of men, attend to the word so solemnly. uttered by Jesus the Lord, and let not this message to you be in vain. Ye must be born again. It's an old song, and I know a lot of the churches nowadays have new music, but one of the wonderful things about the old hymns is they followed Scripture, and they told a message, because we know that Romans 3:23 tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And in Romans 6:23, we know the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And even in the Old Testament, we know in Isaiah, the book of Isaiah 59, it says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities, your sin, have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Sin is the problem. The answer is, well, the first word that Jesus said in his ministry, when he started his ministry, repent. The answer to all of life's problems comes down to repenting our sins to the Lord. If we call upon the Father and we confess that our sins put Jesus on that cross, your sins, my sins, because Jesus died that substitutionary death for us, paid the price. That wages of sin is death. He paid the price that was on our head. And if we ask the Father to be forgiven, if we repent from the heart that we're truly sorry, we will be forgiven. And then we can ask Jesus, his only begotten Son that died for us, to come and be Lord of our life. We ask him that we want to give ourselves to him. We want to become a born-again believer. And we want to become a child of the kingdom. And Jesus will accept us. He will give us the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which is our down payment on eternal life. And then we truly become part of the family of God. We become a joint heir with Jesus and everlasting life. And we become that born-again believer that Jesus said we must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. So you have to decide where you want to spend eternity, with Jesus and the saints in heaven forever, or with Satan and those that were cast into the lake of fire.
It's just that simple, isn't it? There's no in-between. Right. We're out of time for tonight. Right. Wendy, we want to thank you for being with us here tonight. And give your phone number very quickly.
866-229-3663.
Call that to get the best natural medicines that you can get right out there. We're out of time for tonight, so as we do every night at this time, we say good night. God bless.
God bless.
You guys ready? And always, let's do it.
Keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.